Couple years down the road, you're laying in bed. It's 10:30. You just watched that movie, The Holiday. It was on, you know?
Yeah.
And as far as rom-coms go, it's pretty fucking good. And you are filled with this echoing pang of loneliness.
Wow.
So you download an app, you put yourself out there again.
Oh, like a dating
You're,
app?
yeah, like a dating app.
Okay.
Yeah, so you put your profile on a dating app and you're swiping along, right? You're swiping through profiles. You swipe through so many profiles that you wake up the next day and your thumb is like twice as large as it is normally. And it is bright red and painful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dater's thumb.
Dater's thumb. It's now in the DSM-4 or whatever. It's like some kind of compulsion where you just swipe to the point that you get an engorged thumb.
No.
So you got a bad case of DT, right? Spent all day swiping through. It's an app called Green Flags Only, and it's pretty good, man. You've had several friends meet their significant others off of there.
Okay.
They have this claim that 72% of their users will go on a date within the first month of downloading the app.
Oh, wow.
Very high number. And honestly, there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, this is great. Whatever that is they're doing, it's working. So you put yourself on Green Flags Only. It's so good that the birth rate of the country changes
Oh my God.
once their user mass like hits a certain number. Once they have 4 million active users, the growth rate of the country tilts in the other direction. And honestly, it ushers in a generation that will basically help power this country to Mars one day. That's how good
Wow.
Green Flags Only is.
Holy shit.
So you put
So
your.
am I like meeting anyone from it or?
Well, your first day, you got the dater's thumb. And that kind of slowed you down. And so you had to use your left hand. And that's just, I mean, you can't do anything. And I mean anything
Okay. Yeah.
with your other hand. But in time, you swipe judiciously. You're honest in your profile. Are clever and witty with your responses.
Okay.
You let your personality shine through,
It's
and
hard to do.
you match with a woman named Gail Fenderschmidt.
Gail Fender Schmidt.
Yeah,
What's
you
her
Gail
story?
Fender. Gail is from Milwaukee. Okay. Gail's from Milwaukee, and as a kid, just always like loved animals. She wanted to be in like a fucking, she wanted to be a zoologist someday. She grew up, family didn't have a lot of money, but anytime they put a little bit together, she'd take the bus downtown. She'd take the bus into Chicago, right? She'd walk around the Shedd Aquarium with a little disposable camera. She'd take pictures of all the aquatic life. And it was in those days when she really discovered that all she ever really wanted to do was work with animals, right?
Yeah.
And not just like cute, pretty animals. There were enough suitors for those. She loved bats. So Gail Fenderschmidt moved to Austin, and she built a little apartment right underneath the overpass on Congress, and that's where she lives.
What?
She's got a little 1-1 right there that she built up underneath the bridge. She's got a little mini fridge. She's got a gas generator.
Does it hang
She's
from the
got,
bridge? Like
it's
it's
like
attached to the
tucked.
bridge,
It's
or
like,
it's
yeah, it's
like.
like tucked up underneath there. Yeah, it's definitely
Okay.
attached to the
Wow.
structure.
That's fucking weird. That's really weird.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a nice apartment for what it is, It's just one that
I
she built,
guess. Sure, whatever.
She's got like a TV in there. She's got running water. She's pretty handy with stuff. And every night, she sits in her apartment and stares out her bedroom window at the bats that congregate underneath Congress Bridge, the bridge on Congress Avenue, right? Because there's so many of them. There's how many millions of bats that live up underneath there, do they
At
say?
the height, there's at least 1.5 million.
1.5 million bats over the course of the summer, like every night, just
Yeah.
fly out from underneath this bridge. And she sits there with her binoculars and she's got a camera running. She's taking video of the whole event. She studies it the next day.
Wow.
She loves bats, and that brought her to Austin.
Does she
She's a little
work?
quirky, I guess. Yeah, she's kind of quirky,
So this is like a hobby. This is, or is this her job?
This is her, this is the thing that drives her.
Okay,
This is
it's a
what she
thing.
does with her life.
Wow.
She studies bats. She has a grant from a school. She's kind of vague about how she makes money, but whatever.
That's interesting.
Yeah. She's never wanting for anything, but she's definitely not like rolling in it,
Okay, yeah.
And she's a, like I said, she's a little odd, right? We're all a little odd in our own ways, right?
Sure.
You guys match on green flags only. And you talk for probably like 2 weeks. You're every few days you guys have like a conversation and you just really hit it off with her. She's very nice. You're attracted to her. She likes to use stand-up comedy,
Cool.
Seem to have a genuine connection and are both like looking forward to meeting the other person. You're not like stressing about it, right?
Oh, okay.
It feels good. It feels natural. It feels like, oh yeah, this will be it. If this doesn't go anywhere, I at least could feel good that this isn't going to be a fucking train wreck,
Oh, sure, yeah. If the sparks don't fly, whatever.
Yeah. She suggests an idea of taking a bunch of edibles and going to a museum.
Holy shit.
And you're like, yeah,
That
that's a great
is an
fucking idea.
incredible idea.
It's a great idea. She suggests this new museum that opened up. It's called Terry Talbot's Museum of the Macabre.
Oh my God.
And
Yeah.
it's like this museum that's like it's exactly what you think it is. It's like freak show
Who's
stuff.
Terry Talbot?
Terry Talbot is just like a guy who has collected things over the years that like have existed within like a large subculture of like a freak show, circus, horror, punk rock, like this whole kind of aesthetic
Wow,
thing,
yeah.
And he's just like a guy who likes that stuff and has collected it, and he has like a museum in his garage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
This does sound like something I'd be very interested in. Yeah, this is pretty
Yeah.
cool.
So you guys are like, okay, well, you're gonna meet, you're gonna take some edibles together, you're gonna walk around this park, and then walk to this museum, right? Give it, 45 minutes or so. Give it an hour. Let it hit you.
Sure.
So you guys You meet up at a little park. It's very pleasant from the jump. You bring the edibles. You guys sit on a park bench out in like a beautiful fall afternoon on a weekend.
All right.
The leaves just started to turn about 2 weeks ago. They're sort of peeking at this like brilliant, vibrant, but like darker shades, just brilliant reds and browns and yellows. And even though it's dying, it's still beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. I love when that happens.
And there's a smell of it that's in the air. It just smells like fall.
Wow, this is a
It's
fucking
like,
pretty intense. Wow, okay, yeah.
it's a beautiful fall day. You and
Cool.
Gail Fenderschmidt meet. Sit on a park bench and watch the leaves. Some of them blow away. Some of them hang on for at least another day.
Sure.
You have the edibles. You sit there and talk for, 30 minutes or whatever. You get up and start walking to the museum, Terry Talbot's Museum of the Macabre.
Yeah. Fuck yes.
You're walking and it's kind of starts to hit you. You see people that have like Halloween decorations up. So it's kind of just like that. It's just that time of year. Everything is like vivid and inviting, and it feels warm and cold at the same time.
Okay.
So you have this lovely conversation, you and Gail Fenderschmidt, as you guys walk through like a quiet neighborhood. You see, there's a small cardboard sign taped to like a street sign, and it says Terry Talbot's Museum of the Macabre this way. You guys follow the signs, right? Another couple of blocks, you'd swear her hand grazes up against yours, but you just don't quite have the courage to pull the trigger.
Oh no. Really? Shit. Oh man.
Your hands almost touch again, and as she goes to like reach for your hand, as you go to point because you see it, and they touch for just a split second, but it's an opportunity that's missed. And you think, fuck, you think it again to yourself. You think, what the fuck, Pat? And you're in your own head.
Okay, then at that point I would just grab her hand.
Yeah, but you don't. You're in your own head, and you're
I'm
high
too
on
nervous.
edibles.
Oh,
Yeah.
right. I didn't think of, okay, of course. Yeah, I could see that being kind of a yeah, I think I would second guess myself like that if I was that high, yeah.
Sure. But thankfully, you don't have to linger on it because you see the museum. You walk up to it, and it's like a two-story garage that has like an addition built onto it. Like, this was clearly a project that this guy had gotten into a little later in life and just used his existing space, much to the detriment of everyone around him.
Yeah.
So you walk in, there's a man. He's sitting at like a table that they would have at like a high school football game, just like a white folding table. He's got a little
Okay.
cash box in front of him.
Yeah.
It says tickets, $20. Stay as long as you like. No re-entries.
Okay.
So you give him $20, right? You give him $40. You're a gentleman. You'd pay for it. I know you.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
You'd say, I got it. She blushes a little bit.
I go, yeah, it's don't worry, it's just easier this way.
Terry Talbot kind of pauses. You give him $40. He kind of like holds it in his hands. He like checks it on the table. He goes, have fun, kids.
Thank you.
You go inside his museum, and he, excuse me. you go inside the museum, and he has like different like rooms set up based on things he's collected over the years. He actually has like G.G. Allen shit in a like a bag, right? Yeah. And
Wow.
there's like a picture of him like blown up from back in the day. How somebody took of him like picking up the shit, you know? And there was
Yeah.
like a news article. It says man picks up shit at concert. And so it's just stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, that
He
rules.
has all these rooms. And so you kind of walk through like this first floor of this garage, and there is an upstairs, and you go to like walk upstairs, but you look and like a room that you pass along the way, it's like a theater room. There's like several like theater style, like big comfy love seats, you know. There's probably like 10 of them there.
Okay.
Some big single chairs. Looked very comfortable. There's a projector screen. It's like playing horror trailers on a wall. There's a little sign there that says, next show starting 3 p.m. You look down at your phone, it's 2:59.
I look at her and I go, after you.
She steps inside. It's like crushed velvet floor. It's very weird. It's like
Right.
very over the top. It's sort of Twin Peaks kind of strange feeling to it. Again, horror trailers just silently playing on the television. Everybody else kind of filters in. There's maybe like there's seating for almost 40 people, you know. But there's maybe 12, 15 people there in total.
What's one of the trailers?
It's for a horror movie called Oh No. And Oh No, it's based on a basically it's story of like a speed skater. It's Apollo Ono. It's his
Okay.
first foray into film, and he plays like a speed skater who has an accident and then gets like rebuilt into like a robot speed skater, and he also like solves crimes, you know?
It's a horror movie, and
But it's a horror movie, yeah.
it's called Oh No.
It's called Oh No.
How does it look
Yeah.
like it's gonna be good?
No.
Oh
No. It does not. But it shows like
man.
Apollo Ono like speed skating like down the street, and sparks are just fucking flying behind him.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
So you guys are like, oh, you know, watching trailers, you're on a little love seat. You think now's the fucking time.
Yeah.
You go to put your arm over his shoulder, and then the lights go out. And everybody kind of jumps, and you hear one guy go, "What the fuck?" And he farts. It scares him, right?
Okay.
He goes, "What the
Holy
f-?"
shit.
And he, so just a
Yeah.
dry fart, you know. Everybody laughs. It doesn't smell.
Okay.
That guy's farts have never smelled.
Ever in his entire life?
Ever.
Huh.
Theodore Kilgore never had a smelly fart his entire life. Never had a smelly shit his entire life.
Really?
Yeah, he was the third of three kids. And his mom and dad were like, "Why doesn't this kid's shit stink?" And they took him to the doctor, and he's just like super healthy, nothing wrong with him. Just never had a smelly fart.
Wow. Way to go.
Actually ended his first marriage.
How would that work?
Yeah, his wife thought that he was like gaslighting her, you know, because she would hear him fart, and then she's like, "I
Oh,
don't
yeah.
smell it. You're not farting." And he's like, "My farts don't smell."
And it just,
You
it was
know,
too much for
and
her.
it was just too much for them to overcome. They never really got through it. And, you know, they were together 8 years.
What a stupid reason. So dumb.
Oof. So you and Gail, kind of like that moment is lost. You see a spotlight come to center stage. and a man walks into the spotlight.
Yeah.
He's got on these black shoes, these dark blue stonewashed jeans.
Fuck yeah.
He's got on a maroon shirt. And he's wearing a jacket. You've seen a lot of jackets in your day. That's something you need to think about yourself, because you're a man who's seen a lot of jackets. But you've never seen...
I think about myself in that way.
Yeah. Because as a kid, you would just like notice people's jackets. And so you think you it was just something that you like observed more of than anyone else.
All right. I mean, all right. Whatever.
Right. And you, believe me, you think to yourself, I've seen a lot of fucking jackets, but I have never seen a jacket fit someone so perfectly as this man's black leather jacket. He grabs the microphone with the biggest hand you've ever fucking seen. It swallows it.
It's what do you mean? It swallows like the mic?
The microphone. And you kind of like blink, and man. Then it's like he's just holding the mic regular, you know?
Sure.
But he looks at he looks in the crowd and he says, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming to on a night just like tonight with me, your host, Mickey Less." And he looks at you and he just fucking winks.
All right.
And he so he goes on to give this presentation. It's like 40 minutes long. And it's all about how horror has horror culture has like infiltrated mainstream culture. And he just it's like, honestly, it's kind of just an interesting sort of history of how society has been shaped by horror culture over the years. Right.
Okay.
And, you know, the all of like the Dungeons and Dragons, Satan panic, and like how this has manifested itself as like a weird culture war for the last several decades.
Okay.
And he says at the end, he goes, "Yeah, we're gonna talk about, you know, there's some of my favorites." He goes, "Oh," he goes, "I want to hear about like your favorites." He goes, "Who has a favorite horror movie? What's your favorite horror movie?"
He asked me that.
Yeah. Well, he asked the crowd, and you feel compelled to speak.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I guess I would have to say, you know what? Honestly, I don't know if I really do have one. I would probably just say The Shining.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that I like a lot of. Yeah. A lot of stuff I like a lot of. I'm an idiot. There's a lot of stuff that that I like. There's some stuff that I've liked currently, but I would just probably just say The Shining.
He would go, "Great call." And he'd step, there's like a, he's got like a little curtain to the side of him on stage. And he goes behind the curtain and he comes out and he does like a perfect Jack Nicholson impression. And he's like wearing the same getup. He's got a fucking axe in his hand.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. Yeah. And he starts, all work and no play, makes Jack a dull boy. Just giving the crowd this menacing look, and people are kind of like taken aback by it. Like it's very impressive, and everybody applauds.
Wow.
You know?
Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So people are like giving their favorites, and he's like going behind in this little wardrobe wall and just changing and then coming out and like reenacting something. You're sitting in a way where you're the only person who can see the other side of that wardrobe wall, right? You're the only one. Just your perspective is the only one that gives you a sight line into him changing.
Okay.
And he's changing into the clown from It. And he turns back at you and he just winks at you.
Which It?
The Tim Curry one.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And he kind of like looks back and he winks at you and he kind of
Yeah.
like motions like you two, you know, and he gives you a thumbs up.
What, like you, like are you two together kind of a
Yeah,
thing?
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I look away. I just, I'm like so weirded out by that. I just look away.
So he comes out and he reenacts the moment from when and it when you first see him when he's in the sewer grate, you know, how he just kind of pops up.
Yeah, we all float down here.
Yeah. The crowd applauds, right? He goes, yeah, there's a lot of like really good scary movies out there. He goes, here's some of my favorites. He goes, in fact, I'm gonna need somebody's help. He goes, I need a volunteer. And he looks right at you.
Oh
He
no.
goes, come on up here. He goes, act something out with me. I wanna tell you about my favorites. You go up
Oh,
there.
sure.
You go on
I
stage.
immediately regret it though.
You go on stage and he's like one of my favorite movies, and you guys both walk behind that wall. He's got like a chest in front of him, and he's pulling out clothes, and he's like dressing you. He pulls, you know, he's modeling you in a way.
What?
Yeah. And he dresses himself, you know. And
Sure.
you don't even he's talking, but you can't even really make it out. You're so fixated on him, right?
Yeah. He's got presence.
He has presence, and you kind of like snap out of it when he goes, Psycho. And you walk out onto the stage, and there's like a shower there now.
Oh, yeah.
You get in it.
Sure.
You look down and you're wearing like a nude suit. It is very form-fitting.
Oh, God.
You look over at Gail and she just bites her fucking lip.
Oh, oh, man.
You can tell that she's into this.
Okay.
She's into
Then I
this.
then I'm into this.
I'm into this. So you're like you're standing in the shower and you don't know how, but the water turns on, right? And then the next it kind of like shocks you, and the next thing you know, the curtain gets ripped back behind you and Mickey stabs you with like a one of those fake knives that just
Yeah.
collapses on itself.
It's
And
he
brother, you scream. It just comes out of you. You are legitimately terrified by it.
Wow.
Mickey kind of pulls you out, and the crowd goes fucking nuts.
Hey. What is what's her
Gail?
name? Yeah, Gail.
Gail?
What is what's her reaction?
You can't see it. You're too focused on the task at hand.
Okay.
Mickey looks at you and again he's like pulling clothes, right? He's like pulling clothes from the fucking this chest and he's dressing you and he's like dressing himself and he says he turns and he looks at you and he says, just go with it. And he pushes you and you slide back and you're on like a metal table in the middle of the stage and there's a light over your head. You have on like a white t-shirt. There's like cardboard cutouts of like six other people standing around you looking nervously, and you're just laying there on your back.
Okay.
And then you feel up the sides of your tummy Mickey's hands from underneath you.
Oh, God.
And it gets to your
What?
stomach, and through your shirt, he bursts like an alien looking puppet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It spits blood all over the crowd. They fucking love it.
Wow, that's cool. All
Yeah.
right.
The crowd applauds. He slides the table back. You're very disoriented. Mickey's pulling stuff from the from the chest, again addressing you. You're sort of out of it, right? He looks at you and he goes, "One more." He pushes you again, and you lie back and you get hit in the face with a breezy mist. And your back feels cold against the floor of a small boat. The nose of the boat rises. You feel it start to sink down into the water beneath you. And you look up and you are face to face with a great white shark. And the angle of the boat steepens. And you see all of its razor sharp fucking teeth with bits of fish and gut
Whoa.
and bone stuck in between them.
Yikes.
And you see the dead black eyes of the shark, and you slide into its waiting mouth and you scream.
What?
Jaws eats you and then retracts back to behind the screen. The crowd goes fucking nuts.
Wow.
So you go out on stage, right? You get a standing ovation. Gail Fenderschmidt loves it.
Yeah.
She blushes.
I think I like nod at her like, hey. Like pretty weird, huh?
You do that, and she just applauds for you.
That's cool.
Mickey raises his hand. People lose their fucking shit. He kind of like bumps you in the back. You step forward. The crowd gives you a big round of applause.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You leave Terry Talbot's Museum of the Macabre. Terry sits out front smoking a long, slim cigarette, like a Virginia Slim, you know?
Yeah.
And he says, "You kids have fun."
I laugh and I go, yeah, man, that was pretty fun.
He goes, "Good. Come see us again." He takes a
I'm
long
gonna.
drag off the cigarette. He kind of looks up. You look up at this beautiful, brilliant full moon. You look back to say something, and he's gone.
Oh.
Just a money box sitting on a white plastic table. So you guys get out of there. You go back to Gail's place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys buck like crazy. Right?
Okay.
It's an incredible connection.
Wow.
Amazing chemistry. Red hot attraction. Hot. Wet.
All right.
Throbbing. Engorged.
Sure. All of that is implied.
Yeah.
I'd just like to point out. Don't have to say it.
So you're back at her you're back at her place
Yeah.
underneath the bridge.
Oh,
She's
yeah.
got a little pottery studio in there. You guys put on the Righteous Brothers, and she's like, "This is one of
Oh,
my favorite movies." And you guys make pottery together in the nude. You're kind of leaning out of her window, smoking a joint,
yeah.
right? Blowing the smoke up through the window. And you kind of like lean your body half in, half out, and then the window breaks and the glass crushes you, like it kills that bad guy in the movie Ghost. You die right
Oh.
there underneath the bridge. Gail fucking screams. She screams a scream that shakes the foundation of her home from the bridge. The bats come and tear your
Oh,
body away.
no.
They
What?
eat
Oh,
every bit of it. Yeah, the bats
why?
eat your entire body, and Gail's home gets broken, and it tumbles down into the lake.
Does she die too?
Man, I don't know. I wasn't there. It couldn't have been good. But those bats eat
Oh,
your body
fuck.
within moments. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I am,
Yeah.
man. Why did they do that?
They were hungry, man.
I
You gotta get a
guess
meal where you
so,
can.
man.
And there's over a million of them,
Oh.
you know? Each one took just a little chunk out of it. Like you weren't
Yeah.
entirely dead when that glass like cut you. It definitely like was fatal, but you were still bleeding out. And while you were bleeding out, you felt every single bite. 1.5
Oof.
million bats.
I felt one and a
And
half
then
billion bites.
1.5 million bites, and then they just tore your fucking body apart. Nothing was
Oh,
left.
man.
Not even your
Fuck.
clothes. Except for one blue eye
Oh.
that floated and wound up in the bottom of the fucking lake.